like to introduce Jan Mundo for her session, A Somatic Exploration of Headaches, Migraine, and Myofascial Pain. Jan is a somatic coach and body worker who specializes in the transformation of headaches, migraines, stress, tension, pain, and trauma. 50 years ago, she created a transcranial touch and focused ascension therapy for relief and prevention. She's taught that in many places, including universities and medical centers. She's also written the Headache Healer's Handbook that teaches you how to overcome the cycles of pain. Over to you, Jan.
Thank you so much, Ming, and to the whole conference, to Tom as well, our channel manager, and our sponsor. So I'm really pleased to be here and honored, and wanted to talk to you today about how I got into this, about headaches and migraine and myofascial pain. But really, my main purpose is to give everyone, including myself, an experience of just relaxing our body, relaxing the tissue, and being able to effectively use our touch and our focused awareness to do that. So it's one of those things where the topic is so broad and wide in all of headaches and migraines, but we're just gonna bite off a little chunk today and cover what we can, and hopefully we'll get some relief and some things that you can take home with you. So my headache story actually is that my mom had really bad migraine, and she used to lie down in a darkened room and take medication for them, and it was really miserable. And migraine can be really debilitating, but I was able to help her relieve the tension, what she called the knots and spurs in her neck and in her shoulders. And so I started that when I was 10 or 11. Then I didn't really have noticeable headaches or migraine. And then in 1970, so 50 years ago, I read of a claim that you could stop a headache or migraine by putting your hands on the front and back of the head. So I started experimenting with it on myself and others, and became basically a headache magnet, because wherever I was doing whatever, shopping, makeup counter, family gathering, somebody would exclaim what a headache they had and how they would have to leave, or they had to lie down, how sick they felt. And so I was always curious to see if this could work. So each time, with curiosity, I would approach it and just say, well, can you give me 5 minutes? And so they're like, okay. So in 5 minutes, I would stop their pain. And I really did that without thinking about it. I just thought it was really interesting. And then when I ended up going through early perimenopause and started getting my own really bad migraines. So I had had them enough before to work on myself, but this was really bad. And so I started working on it more and reading up, and thought, this is really interesting that I can help people with them. And there are a lot of medications that people take that don't necessarily solve their pain. It might be more like a Band-Aid, so it solves it for a little while. So I became a certified massage therapist. Then when I would have people on my massage table, that's when I got into somatics, because their emotional content would come up when I would work on their pain. And I started getting my first referrals from a neurologist at UCLA. And she said, well, you were able to relieve their headaches, but they kept coming back. And so because I was having these horrible migraines myself, I started noticing a pattern, which was right before my period. And then I started noticing on the months before that, if I were eating better, sleeping better, under less stress, getting a little more exercise, just in general, things were better, healthy lifestyle-wise, eating better, then I wouldn't get that migraine. So that's when I started putting together my program, and the program for self-care, relief, and prevention, just as I had done. And I started teaching it at medical centers and universities, and for health education programs and employee wellness programs, and also at conferences. And so eventually I also was collecting data through questionnaires, and eventually some nurse practitioner candidates found me and wanted to do a study, and we submitted the study to Cephalalgia, which is a migraine, international migraine peer-reviewed medical journal. And they accepted our paper. And what they found in the study of 78 migraine patients was that people were able to reduce their migraines by 41% and the relief medications by 52%. So that was really exciting because it wasn't even that long of a class. And so over time I've developed it. And really what it depends on is not just, it really is looking at your whole life, let's put it that way, and everything all together. And that's when you can make a change. And the somatic embodied part is also really important, because it's not just what you eat or your sleep, your stress, or your exercise, or your breathing, or your posture, which is really important, but it's also how your history lives in your body and how you've learned to either handle stress or tension or get love and literally shaped to that. And so that factors into what we do too. And so in order to shift it, it takes a commitment, and it also takes building awareness step by step. And so that you can come home to your body and soften the parts that are tight and hard, and breathe and let gravity support you. So it all works together. So I wanted to say just a little bit about, we're all experiencing stress and tension. So you'd think because we're at home that we're not, but we really are. We're all trying to really survive in a kind of crazy world while disconnected with people. That's one of the reasons why this community and this conference is so wonderful. And being able to at least have electronic connections is good at this point. But I wanted to also talk about and describe headache and migraine before we started working, and then give you some principles on it. So a migraine, and you know if you have them, but then some people are not sure what they have, and some people haven't had diagnosis from a physician or a neurologist yet. So migraine, they're complicated. It's really a whole system condition. And but they're characterized by pulsating, pounding pain. People get associated symptoms like nausea and light, sound, and odor, and even touch disturbances where they're just super sensitive. And then tension type headache is different. You don't get all that other bodily, those associated symptoms that I just described, but it's more like a tight hat band on your head and like a vice grip sensation. And sometimes that's also associated with pain in tightness, or what they call trigger points, myofascial trigger points, in your shoulders, neck, and a lot of times lower skull. And then for some people who have migraines, they actually get symptoms of both. So, it's hard for medications to relieve that kind of pain, because it doesn't address the underlying causes of why you got it in the first place. Now, one of the things that I've been noticing about touch for these past 50 years, and really focusing on it more and more over the past, say, 30, is that not only can touch help, but when you put your mind to your touch and then match that to your pain, it's like supercharges the effectiveness of the touch. And there's actually recent research about this dealing with the fascia, which is, the sheath-like tissue that surrounds every muscle cell, fiber, bundle, and group. And it responds to heat and cold and stress, and it's got a lot of properties that nobody really knew about until recent years, when they really started studying it. And some of the leaders of that discourse are in this conference, like Tom Myers. So, you know, it's very powerful to put your mind into your body. And so without further ado, I wanted to start working. If you're ready and willing, let's work on the body and see if we can ease it out. So I can see a few of you. And if you don't mind, could you just raise your hand if you get headaches or migraines? Okay. And how about shoulder, neck, tightness, and tension and pain? Yeah, okay.
So just so the attendees know, there were three people out of the four who've got the videos on who said yes to both.
Awesome. So we're going to work on the pain, and we're going to work on easing the tissue out. And so when I say tissue, I mean the muscle and the fascia that surrounds it. So the first thing that we do whenever I work on somebody and myself is I get them centered in gravity and align the posture, because a lot of us are in really extreme head forward posture from our devices, from leaning into the computer, from being under deadlines and pressure and trying to do everything now 24/7. Now that we're actually at home, we're still doing everything. We're just not going anywhere. So the first thing is to align your posture. So let's do that. And I'm going to move back and kind of be shifting so that you can see more when I'm doing different activities that I want you to be able to see. Okay. So just from the side, if you can see, you're not going to be able to see my feet, I don't think. Big hand. Well, there's my legs. But you want to have your feet. It always starts with your feet. So you want to have your feet. You can't see my feet, but you can see where my knees are. So my knees are, and my feet are below my knees. So there's basically feet are hip distance apart, and then your knees are open, and they're a straight line from your hip joints. So if you put your fingers right in your hip joints where your thigh and your hip joints meet, and then trace the line knee and then point to your feet, so that if you have that kind of posture, then your weight can drop down into the floor and you can actually use gravity to hold your weight without pulling up out away from it or kind of slumping and not being able to breathe as well. I also use a straight back chair, something not on wheels, that I can sit forward in the chair. It's not a really big chair. It's one where I can feel the weight and pressure of my feet on the floor. And that's important because it helps you ground more. And then I tend not to sit back, because if you sit back, say in an easy chair, or even when you're sitting on the couch, then your head has to come forward to either see what you're doing or to balance it out so you don't fall over. So I sit on my sits bones. So that's how you start getting centered in gravity. So there's a lot of back. You can put a pillow there if you want, or a cushion, but it helps us sit under your own power. At first it might feel uncomfortable or like you're straining your back, but it's just because you're not used to using those muscles is what usually happens. And then you want to, so now we've centered and grounded from the bottom. Then we want to center here so that we have a good vertical line, because if you do that, then it puts less strain. See, if you're leaning back and then you strain, if you touch here, you can see and feel how it makes these muscles tight. So if you can pull your head back, but without chin up, so as if you're looking straight forward, chin down a little bit. And then if you just tap the side of your ear.
Jan, we have a good view of your body and where you're sitting, but we're missing from the shoulders
my
up.
Head. That's okay. My head isn't so much so
your hands right now. Were...
Now you got my big fat thumb. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but great. So, okay. So you can touch here. Yeah, you're right. Cause now we're doing upper body. So ear, shoulder, just tap them and hip, and then trace the line. So you want them to be straight, like a plumb line, right? So that then now your whole body can drop down in gravity. And then place your hand on your belly. So your thumb is on your belly button, basically. And so that it's rounded on your lower abdomen. Your palm is rounded on your lower abdomen. And then that's where you want to breathe into. So if you breathe lower, then you will breathe deeper. So you don't have to try to breathe deeper. So just see if you can inhale and feel your hand push your stomach, sorry, push your hand or your abdomen, push your hand away from your spine. And then as you exhale, just collapse the back slightly, the lower back, and roll the tailbone under. That helps you get a little more breath in. Let's do two more of those. In through the nose. And you can even sigh it out. So that gets you set up to start working on yourself. All right, how's that so far? So it's always good whenever you do anything to really check in with your body. So you've done something that might have been different or taken time to stop or taken time to breathe, even if you usually do, but you did it just now. So it's always good to see, well, how am I feeling now? So I know me, I was rushing, getting ready for this and doing a lot of stuff. And so I feel calmer. So just notice how you feel and where that you might feel that in your body. Okay. So I want to talk about some main concepts that we're going to be working with. People who've had headaches and migraines and pain for a long time can get discouraged and frustrated and angry and sad and depressed and so many things because they've tried so many things and haven't been able to get rid of their cycles of pain. So you kind of have to have what's called beginner's mind. That's where we start. It's a Zen concept from Suzuki Roshi, the Zen master. And so really, in this case, you just get curious about the qualities of tissue that you're going to be working with under your touch, and also about your pain. And what's interesting about working on yourself is that you're both the giver and the receiver. So, you know, we have interoception, which is how our body feels and how we experience our body from the inside. And then we have exteroception, how we experience our body from the outside. So in this case, we are doing both while also making a shift in it. And then oftentimes while also in pain. What's really good about it is that you can give yourself exactly what you want if you know how. So I find that comforting and something that I really use a lot. So beyond getting curious, it's always good to see when you're working on pain, what thoughts, emotions, memories, sensations arise or emerge as you explore your pain. And we're going to be, you know, when we have pain, we often feel like, just take a pill. Give me an aspirin, give me a Tylenol, give me something for my migraine, but get rid of it. When you work with your pain somatically or mind, body, emotions, spirit, we're working actually to move toward or into the pain and explore it. And in that way, we can actually release it, both with our touch and with our attention. So you look for tight, hard, sensitive, painful spots or areas. And then you keep exploring what is without judgment as you're working on it and see what you notice. So I'd like to say a little bit more about working with pain. Often what seems like, oh, my shoulder, and they are, they're so tight right now. When I actually start working on them, and when you start working on yours, what I find, and when I start working on everyone that I've worked on for all these years, that what seems like overall pain is actually a collection of painful points. And so when we work on them, If you find and release each painful stuck point, then all together your pain eases. I also advise people, especially because it's difficult because I've never worked on you, I'm teaching you touch through words and through experience and then trying to see how you're doing it and then adjusting to what I'm going to be teaching you, that people wonder, well, how much pressure do you use? So I always use only the amount of pressure that it takes to meet the pain at its own level of resistance without making more pain. So if I'm pressing too hard, if you've ever had a massage and you've been sore afterward, oftentimes that's because your tissue wasn't warmed up enough. And so it was too hard too fast. So you want to ease your way in so that the tissue can warm and melt and become pliable, just like clay or kneading bread. As you warm it, it becomes more pliable. Otherwise, if you try and roll a snake with the clay, it can break, right? But then once it's warm, it gets much more pliable. So your tissue is like that too. And then you want to match your touch and awareness of your touch with your tightness and pain. The last principle that I want to talk about in how we approach pain is to shake it out. So we're going to be working on our body, on tight places, and basically collecting what's this tightness into the working hand and arm. So I teach people to actually get rid of it because your arm will start to feel tired. You'll see what I mean in a minute. But how you get rid of it is what I call just shake it out. So I think you can see this. So I just bend my arm up and then I extend my arm and hand. And so my hand, if you can see it, you extend it to the floor so you don't have to hold your arm up, which is then using these muscles. But this is what it looks like. So I'm extending my fingers. So you're trying to shake something off of you. And just keep doing that until your hand doesn't get tired anymore. That doesn't feel tired anymore. And then you can go back to part of the routine you were doing. You can also do it at the end of when you're finished working on yourself. So it's really helpful to do that. Just watch out for furniture, because you can whack yourself on the furniture if you're not paying attention. Done it. And then keep noticing what changes with the tissue. Okay, now we're almost there to working on ourselves. Two main principles that I want to teach you. One is called, well, together they're called puppy dog paws and little frog pads. They're my silly names for techniques that I've been using all these years and that I feel help really get you into the tissue so that you can be effective with it. So what puppy dog paws are this. So everybody make puppy dog paws. So just bend, have your arms basically by your side, slightly in front, your forearms, your elbows bent up, and your forearms bent, and then your hands just flopped over like little begging puppy. Okay, so those are puppy dog paws. So those are soft hands. Those are the kind of hands that you want to put on yourself. You don't want to put hard claw hands on yourself, like, just let me get that out. It doesn't work. It just, you can't really get into the tissue that well. So you want to be good to yourself. And also you want to blend with the tissue so that you can feel into it. It will give way if you blend with it. It has a feeling of melting and softening and warming like we've been talking about. The other thing I basically just demonstrated, but I would be doing this on my lap, but you can do it on your lap. Just place your left hand on your lap. Doesn't matter which hand, but just for consistency. And then take your puppy dog paw of your right hand and place it between the ribs, in the ribs between the bones. And just rub back and forth or make little circles. Now make a claw. See how that feels. Little circles. Now go back to the puppy dog paw. So what we do is we use the skin to latch on in order to soften and release the tissue beneath it. I always compare it to going to buy fruit at the market. So when you squeeze fruit, you're not squeezing it to feel the skin, you're squeezing it to feel the flesh inside. So that's what we're doing when we work on the body. Okay. And the last thing is you want to work on both sides of your body, even if only one side feels sore and tight to you. Chances are the other side could have been compensating, or you just want to say hello and be good to it. If it's doing all the work and you've been holding the other one still because it had pain. So it's good to always do both sides. Okay, so let's start with our puppy dog paws. And as you're working on yourself, you might find that you get so into it and attention goes to it so much that all of a sudden you find that your hands are tight. So anytime you notice that, just soften them. So the first thing we're gonna do is we're gonna start with the shoulders and work our way up. And this kind of work, also, I do want to say, is for tension type headache relief and prevention. This particular routine that we're gonna do, and it's an abbreviated routine at that. It's also for preventing buildup of myofascial pain and trigger points that can contribute to migraine. And it's for relieving the stuck tight painful trigger points in the neck, skull, and jaw during a migraine, which then to relieve the migraine, that's another level of work that requires more instruction. So more subtle and more delicate. So it's in part of the progression of the work, but this helps with some areas that are part of migraine that I just mentioned. Okay, and also especially great for prevention. I'm just talking about during migraine, that you don't wanna do this routine necessarily or the whole thing during migraine. Perhaps work on a few stuck points, okay? All right, so first we're gonna start with shoulders. And so when you work on yourself anatomically, you have to work in a certain way because of how our anatomy is. So I work on the opposite side. So I have to turn this way because of the mic. So, excuse me. I'm gonna work on my right shoulder with my left hand. Usually I would start the other way, but it's kind of just twisted. So to do it that way with this mic. So what you do when you work on yourself is you usually if I were working on you, say you're sitting in a chair, I would work with my thumbs in back and my fingers in front on the ridge of the spine. But working on yourself can't do that. So you don't actually use your thumb, use the heel of your hand and put that in front of the ridge. And then, the flats of your fingers, so they're not really bent like that, more just flat, and use them all as one piece. And then squeeze between the heel of your hand and your fingers. And then pull slightly up and just hold and have your head on straight. So I'm looking straight ahead now. You can either close your eyes or have them open and just take a couple of breaths. And then release your grip. And you can move out slightly toward the shoulder. You can move a little closer, and then this point back here, I can reach it with my middle finger, actually with my three fingers. It's called the levator scapula, and it's attachment point for the top of your scapula, shoulder blade, and your neck. So the raised shoulders, all the stuff that we do, arms forward, all the stress, it collects there in a lot of people. So you can press in there and hold and squeeze and then breathe. And then let's do the same move. So instead of squeeze and hold, squeeze and release. So between the fingers and the heel of your hand. looking forward. Chin slightly down, ears over the shoulders. Just see if you can start to feel a little movement. And while you're doing this, you can also assess, well, what feels tight and stuck? Where do I want to come back to? So then coming back to certain areas, you can do what I call little circles. So it's using your fingers like a tool, almost like one piece together, and just do little circles. So in this case, I'm going out. Can you see? Out. And I'm doing it pretty rhythmically. And use the amount of pressure where you're making contact with the pain or the tightness or tension, putting your mind right there, noticing what you feel. How deep, how long, how wide is that point? How painful? What are its qualities? Does it feel like a knot? Does it feel like a bungee cord? A rock? And you can also do back and forth. See, I'm just kind of pressing my fingers in back and forth, stretching them and contracting a little bit. And then now my hand has gotten tired. I don't know about yours. So now I'm going to shake it out. So now what we would do is we would move to the other side, except for I think if I do that, I'm not going to have enough time to show you the whole routine. So I'm going to show you half your body. When we finish with this call, with this presentation, you can take what you learned and do the other side. So you're even. How's that? Okay. And if we have time, we would, but I don't think we will because I want to go all the way up. So then neck. Okay. And we're going to do part of the neck. I treat the neck like it's a box. So there's the sides of the box and the back of the box. And the back of the box has a left and right side divided by your spine. So we're going to work right now the back of the box. And the reason I do it all like this is I really like to be methodical, because when you're working on yourself, you can like release some of it. But then if some of it's just like stuck there, so I try and cover all the points of, you know, the areas, so that at least it's coherently loose, right? All right, so now I'm going to turn around to do this. So kind of make it like a hook, like a hairpin with your fingers. And then this is going to be the same as on top, only we're going to squeeze and pull to the back. I call this the kitty scruff hold because it's like a mama cat holding its kitten by the scruff of the neck. So reach your right hand around to the back, so that the flats of your fingers make contact with the left side of your neck, on the left side of your spine. And then the heel of your hand is on the right side. And then squeeze them together, fingers and heel of your hand, head on straight again. Breathe, and then pull slightly back. Just use as much traction as you can grabbing. Sometimes if you're really tight, it's hard to grab. Sometimes if it's hot and the skin is sweaty, it's hard to grab. And then go to the bottom too. And then do the same thing, that squeeze and release. And breathing. And feet hip distance apart. It's like walk, talk, and chew gum. Another great way to do this is really lying down. I've discovered a lot of these therapies, just lying down in pain, working on myself. Lying on my back or propped up with pillows, trying to make sure that your neck isn't crooked one way or the other, you know, that your spine and neck are fairly straight. You can do it kind of on your back and just really work on yourself. The reason that I had you reach across the front to work on your shoulder as opposed to the same side. If you worked on the same side, then you would be contracting the muscles you're trying to relax. So that's why we do this way. the neck is a little different, but I still go back and I do both sides of the neck, because where your fingers squeeze and where the heel of your hand squeezes, it's a slightly different relationship on both sides. So I still do both sides, even though you're touching both when you're working on one, if that makes sense. Let's do, then there's little circles. So little circles are the same we did on the shoulder, but you can do three strips on each side of the spine. So when I turn around, you can hear me, right? I hope. So here's the spine. And if you just come to right the lower part of your skull and just use your fingers like a tool, like I was showing you before, just a little circles going out. Because it gives a little traction moving out. And I'm spiraling down. Now, if I were doing this at home, I would stay much longer on each spot, on each. So this, I could stay here for a while, stay here for a while to loosen, but I'm doing it more quickly, but you can just stay wherever it's painful, but mainly we're just loosening everything up. Okay, and then I'm gonna go up. I moved my hand out laterally just a little bit. And now I'm just gonna move laterally to what would basically be the back corner of the back of the box. Okay. Now here you can feel like when you get to the shoulder that you are using, I can feel it. The shoulder is contracting. So you don't necessarily go that far into the shoulder. It's just really stay with the neck. Okay. And shake it out again. All right. So that's what we're going to do on the neck this time. So what's interesting is, can you feel a difference between the side that you worked on and the side that you haven't worked on? What do you notice? Does one feel more at ease, more moving parts, more flow, softer, less contracted and clenched up? Mine definitely does. So I worked mostly on my right side, and I think the whole time on my right side, and my left side wants some attention, definitely. But I wanna keep going. So now we're gonna do the head. So warriors and heavy thinkers, a lot of times I have found, get tight heads. You know, we're just like so intent. So if you do this over time, your scalp will get looser. And this also can be a headache trigger to have a tight scalp. So I start with the head, like the back of the box. So there's the back of the box and sides of the box. So splay your fingers. That. And place them at your the lower part of your skull, so that my thumbs aren't really in play, they're tucked under, but my fingers are making contact with the whole lower skull. And here too, a lot of times this can be sore, this ridge, the occipital ridge. You can move out a little bit, still at the back of the box. So I'm latching on, and the reason I have my hair up is I'm going under the hair. So you don't want to do it on top of your hair, because then you just glide. So you want to make contact with the skin and latch on with your little frog pads. So keep going up. Ordinarily, you wouldn't want to have something in your hair. I'm just doing it so you can see. And to the top of the back of the box. You can also do another swath. You can also do this move back and forth, but up vertically, up and down. So just notice where you feel tender points. The point of doing the scalp is to get it to move over the skull. It's not to go deeper, just to get it to move. So you might notice that you feel a little tingling, or it might feel a little energized. Now let's do the sides of the box. So splay your fingers out again and round them, curl them around your ears. Not totally around, but just over the top of your ears. Semicircle. And then do the little circles, latching on with your little frog pads, puppy dog paws, spiraling up sides till you get to the top. So I'm using my pinky along my temple, the hairline. That feels really good. That can be tight from just chewing and other tension. People grind their teeth, bruxism. You can bring your thumb into it if you want. So I'm circling forward. And the reasons that I do the circles in the way that I do them, because if you circle back, then you're kind of pulling the head, which you want to release that pulling, pulling the face. Okay, then the top. So face your palms to your face. Turn your palms to your face. And splay your fingers on your hairline. And then you can just do, this is going to look really weird. But you want this to move. This is what you want, like your forehead and your brows to move. So so if I'm not smiling and my face isn't contracted, but I'm just letting it go, it does this. So sometimes, and you know, the body, everything that we did today, the body's always changing from moment to moment. You can have less tension in one part, more tension in another part. You get, something could be loose, and working on it, especially if you get used to loosening it, then your body starts to remember. And that's why it's so important to pay attention to where you're touching. So right now I'm splitting my tendon, I'm talking to you, and I'm working on myself. And the reason that's so important is that also, not only does it make your touch more effective because it energizes in a certain way, but it makes it easier to replicate what you've done, because you can remember, oh yeah, my scalp was like that last time. Oh, this time, not so much. Oh, let's see, let me loosen it. So if you pay attention to what gets produced, it's easier to reproduce it. All right, now just notice what you feel. Again, we're doing everything kind of an abbreviated version. But so just notice, does your body in general feel looser, more pliable? Can you breathe more fully? Do you have that inner smile? Okay, now let's do a little bit on the face. And usually when I would work on somebody else's face or my own, I would go wash my hands at this point. If your scalp is oily, then so that I'm not putting oily fingers on my face, but in this case, I'm not going to do it right now, but we're going to work on the face. So you start again.
Time-wise, Jan, we will be shifting into the questions soon.
Okay. So 5 minutes?
We can do that. That'll be short time for questions, but yes.
Okay. So for this, splay your fingers on your hairline. And look straight ahead, and then press in, and then use a slight downward traction, pulling toward your brows. And all of a sudden we're having a heat wave here today. So I'm kind of sweaty, so it's a little hard to get traction, even with powder on, good powder. So, but you pull down and hold that traction slightly, and then move to the next spot down. So I'm doing the whole forehead as one swath. You can also do little circles like this too, going out. But I think this pull down stroke is great. And then you can just press into the brow, find the indentations along your brow. So you can see where mine is placed. And I'm definitely on the bone, not on anywhere in the eye. And breathe. Just press straight in. Then let's come to the top of the temple so you can feel that ridge. And let's do circles forward, or you can do press and release as well. And you can feel along the hairline. That can be tight, a little bit into the hairline, can be tender, or the little circles forward. And then pressing under.
I just have a question from Cerise. She's asking, should I spiral my fingers on my scalp forwards or backwards more? You mentioned forwards to release tension.
Forwards in the on the sides, the top. You can do this way, where they're moving towards each other, and then the back. I move out or up and down vertically. So then under the, thanks for the question. Under the eyes, you can find the indentations and press in on the top of the cheekbone, zygomatic arch, and press, say I'm pressing with my finger, pinkies too. Then you can use the middle finger, press in that ski slope, not the true side of the nose, but between the nose and the cheek. Press in there, press release, and then the jaw. Press, release your fingers. And then I love this stroke. So when you come to the corner, that corner of the jaw, I use my fingers, I make a channel. And so I use the sides, make a little, curl them up, kind of like a little worm that's curling up, okay? And then I use my thumbs underneath. And so I do this little twist. So you push in and forward with your fingers, and the thumb is on the bone. It's definitely not where the glands are. It's just on the edge of the bone. And so that's to release the jaw. So you're using your thumb pressing up and your fingers twisting down. And until you come to the chin, you can do the same thing. With the, use your thumb under the bone and just press it and just let your lips and your chin go and breathe. You can do both sides. And then shake out your hands and arms again. And notice how you feel. This is something you can practice all the time. Again, make sure that you're doing both sides. So when we finish with this seminar, if right after or sometime this evening or whatever time it is for you in your part of the world, you can complete by doing the other side, that's great. And that if you can practice the whole thing, or you can practice it in parts. So you can practice, say, oh, my shoulder's sore. So then you do both shoulders today. And then say another day you do your neck. Okay. And I show all this in my book. And in my classes and when I work with people, I teach, I really am about empowering people to work on themselves and be able to free themselves from their own pain.
Thank you, Jan. That was great to have some practical exercises that we could do together. So good also from a prevention point of view. We have three questions here. Let's see if we can get through them all. We only have actually 4 minutes to handle them. But if we don't, then maybe we can handle them in some other way through your website. The top question that's been asked is, I also have migraine at the beginning of most cycles, and I would like you to talk about the possible links with hormonal imbalance.
Well, migraines affect 2/3 of migraine sufferers are women. So there's definitely been found to be a hormonal connection. Not all women get them at the same time during their period, and some women don't, but more women than men do. Sometimes they're handled with birth control and other kinds of medications to balance out the cycle. There are lots of things that gynecologists do with headache clients or the headache neurologists do. I tend to go the more natural route and put everything in balance. And I've seemed to have luck with that. And especially the physical parts of what we just did. And also the stress reduction of breathing, and food has a heavy part in migraine as well. So it's really about putting everything in balance. There are no easy answers to it. It's about becoming your own observer and trying out different things.
Thank you. And then the next question is, could you talk about the brain-gut connection to migraines?
So there are books on that, Josh Turknet and Grain Brain is another one. It's not my area. I basically deal with, there also is a very strong gut and trauma connection. So they are connected, and some people have a luck with doing various diets, paleo diet, grain, you know, gluten-free diet, dairy-free. My way is more Mediterranean diet and a balanced diet and not too many sweets and eating not just what you eat, but when you eat. So that's more what I know about. So I'm hesitant to talk a lot about that connection because I don't work in that way. I work more just with balanced lifestyle, if that makes sense.
Thank you. And then the last, actually there were two questions, but I merged them together and you've partly answered them. It's about what can I do if I have chronic migraine? I'm medicated, but they say this is for life. And the other related question is, can you talk about what to do when one is in extreme migraine? We only have a minute left, so maybe there'll be more answers on your website. But yeah, in 1 minute.
Yeah, so the transcranial headache therapy is what I use for migraine. It works to balance the head and it shifts the symptoms. I teach that, it's in my book as well. And the other question was,
the other question was extreme migraine. So there's chronic migraine and there's extreme, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really, in working with it somatically is really about learning to track everything and making small shifts in your life and in all areas of your life and really becoming a keen observer of that, including the body work that we did, including somatic underlying potential trauma. So there are a lot of areas and it's complicated, but it works to do everything and you come out more healthy as a person in general, not just only your migraines, because it addresses everything about your life and your whole self.
Thank you. Yes, the holistic approach. Thank you so much, Jan, for sharing all this and taking us through some exercises. It was really great. And yeah, I certainly appreciate it. I got to try out some as well. And if you'd like some more information about Jan's work, you can see on her website. We also have a link to, she's very kindly made a little gift for you. So there's a link there that's just been typed into chat. If you go there, you can sign up for a PDF of some information that's similar to what was here, plus also a discount coupon for one of Jan's other offerings. And you can continue the discussion about this at the Embodiment Conference Facebook page or also at the coffee break sessions. And we also have a library of all of the sessions, the recordings of all of the sessions. You can purchase access to this so that you can digest the material in your own time. And you'll also get access to additional things such as audio only, notes on every session, and there's also a structure in place for learning. And purchasing this is a thank you to all of us who are working to make this conference happen. And it also really helps us to give free access to this material for those who can't afford it. And you can buy the access to the library by pressing the upgrade button in the top right corner of the website, or you can follow the link that's been pasted here into chat. And once again, I'd like to thank you for being together with us. And I'd like to ask Jan, for what's your top tip to stay embodied?
So before I say that, very quickly, I want to say that the PDF gift that I have has the whole routine that we did and even a little bit more. So just wanted you to have that and know that that's there for you. You can visit theheadachecoach.com if you want to get in touch with me. And my tip is several tips together. Stop, breathe, feel your body, cultivate hope. That's the first step. And know that you have the power to change your pain.
Thank you. Yes. You have choice. Thank you very much, Jan.
I'm so glad for everybody coming. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm.